You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye. Ahmad Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's Dan.
Delatory.
And your boy J Scott 2-5. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Boys, it is game week. Good to have you on a rainy Sunday here in St. Petersburg.
Oh, miserable.
It's rainy over here.
Really? You got the good luck. It's raining here. We had a damn. Like, God was putting on a show over the weekend with the lightning and the thunder.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. I was in Orlando for the better part of maybe 17 hours. I drove over yesterday. Nick, we talked about it. Went over to our buddy Eric, put on a music festival over in Orlando. And he had a couple artists that I liked. So I went over there with Sarah on Saturday night. And I felt bad for the guy because it rained for about 5 hours before. Now, fortunately, it really didn't impact the headliners. It moved everything back a bit, but it was a soggy, soggy mess over there. But incredible music festival. He did a great job. The crowd was fun, pretty tame for the most part. Like, you can imagine that not everybody was. But shout out to Zeke. I put on a major event that I think brought in some hopefully huge notoriety for him and what they're trying to do with Metamorphosis Fest.
Yeah, I'm friends with both. Zeke's co-owner, John Pop. Shout out to him. Yeah. John was sending us videos. So, like, you saw it, like, that day. It rained all week. So John's, like, sending us videos on Wednesday of, like, the crew putting up the stage and trying to do, like, the electrical and the lighting and the audio and all this stuff. And, like, that, I don't know what your insurance is for the people working. But you might need to up it. Call, speaking of insurance.
Yeah, speaking of, well, I don't know if they do event insurance, but it'd probably be a pretty good idea to just call them in general. But for a second year festival, it's kind of weird. They kind of took over a festival that ran years ago and shut it down and then rebuilt it. But to get Alenium, who's probably one of the biggest American DJs in the world, and then this guy Bunt is probably one of the fastest growing DJs. And then they got a bunch of others, but overall, really great event. Shout out to Eric and the team over there. Great Gator. But boys, it's football week. So Jordan, did you catch any football? Did you catch the fight in Dan Mullins take an L?
I saw a little bits and glimpse of the season opener for him. Really sad to watch, but I heard it was a good one to watch. I heard the coach was so excited, the Memphis coach, that he was showing his behind at the end of the game. He, like, fell down, jumping out. That was hilarious.
I was looking at the Raw show, Jordan. Do you remember the name Avery Helm from, like, 6 years ago?
Nah, where do you play?
Defensive back. He's still playing college football. My brother in Christ, he was, like, 28 years old. Yeah, he's at UNLV.
I got a salute to him, man. Get it all in.
Avery Helm was one of, like workout, not even workout warrior, just like a DB Jordan that, like, if he ever got to the combine, Al Davis would be like, yo, first overall, like, fast, twitchy, like, might have, I think when he was on the team, had one of, like, he's probably 5'11", 6 foot, like, one of the highest verts on the team, just like a freak, athletically gifted freak. Had a couple of injuries. His transfer bounced around a little bit. That's wild that he's still in college.
Yeah, I didn't know he's still around, but I was just looking at the roster because last year's roster was full of you know, no offense, like a lot of people that, you know, were at Dan Mullen's teams, maybe year one, like Dejon Reynolds was still, you know, on the team, Jordan, but Brandy Russell, shout out to him on the support staff for UNLV.
Yeah, he sure is.
So shout out to Randy, obviously. Really tough situation that he battled with coming to University of Florida and being physically unable to perform and having to retire medically from football. Got in with the coaching staff there with Dan Mullen and, you know, just has started to rise the ranks. But to be, you know, a quality control coach at a school like UNLV, you got to hope that there's opportunity for him to maybe get one of those, you know, position coaching jobs or, you know, maybe another QC job somewhere else and then make that jump up. So shout out to him. But I did see a lot of people are like, well, once Dan Mullen fires his DC, we'll be good. I'm like, my brothers in Christ. It doesn't happen.
Not going to happen like that.
Bro, but like this happens to everyone though. So like Georgia fans, I remember when he hired Grantham, Georgia fans were like, ah, wait till you see third down. We were like, yo, shut up. You're just jealous. And then third down, we were like, oh my God, please take him back. We'll trade you one used Todd Grantham for one used Will Muschamp. Same job. We'll take them back. I did see Dan, I've seen this story before. You lose a game, start blaming fans for cheering at the wrong time.
I saw that. I was like, are we really about to do that?
Dan, but they did out-yard them, Nick, and out first down them.
More first downs, more passing yards, more yards. That's a win. I mean, at least you split. Hey, the record is 0.5 and 0.5.
That's the way
500 record. Me. 500 record. Dan is really good at pointing the finger as long as it's not his thumbs back
there. That's right. That's right. There's no mirror in his world. John Hevesy should come back, put in his 2 weeks notice at Lowe's and come back. Unrelated to John Hevesy, like whatever he's doing, his career is great. And, you know, he had a long career. I'm sure he made a bunch of money. But Steve Adazio's son is actually the offensive line coach at UNLV. So that was again a name, you know, kind of a blast from the past name there. And then yes, I do have to bring this up. Where is it? One of the best mixtapes ever, Justin Flo, is also at UNLV. When college football came out a couple years ago on PS5, I bought a PS5 because me and my boys from the fraternity and all that were like, hey, let's run it back like we did 15 years before that, right? And so we were stuck with like picking like kind of meddling teams in the pack or the what I don't know if we had a conference, but it kind of had to be a meddling team, you know, not higher than a certain rate. And I had Justin Flo on Arizona. I was Arizona, my brothers. I turned Arizona into a powerhouse in about 3 years, and then we stopped playing because life gets in the way, and I don't know if I've picked up the stick since. So,
right.
But, well, let's get to –
Speaking of sticks, they just added, if you are playing college football, they just added thousands, not just Florida, but thousands of freshmen and players who previously weren't the last update. So you got – you can throw all the fades to Hezzy Kent that you want now in the end zone. Not a Florida victorious athlete.
Can I add some weight on him and put him at tackle?
You know, I don't think you can change his position.
Can change anybody's position, Nick. I mean, they might be like 24.
Yeah. I know that you guys watch like the 7 second clips, but like he's not fast. Hezzy's not fast.
So the comment for the listeners that can't see the screen is Hezzy's in the game and he's way too slow.
Yeah. Bro, defensive tackle? I don't know that he's playing that one either. I think he was like a 70-something.
Okay. All right.
70-something, 74.
All right.
Might be a 70, 78 left tackle.
Okay.
Bro, Florida at Florida Football Focus, if you're listening to this on Monday – better defensive tackle, defensive end, Hezzy Kent. And one time for the Raider boys, Kenneth, one time for the Raider boys. These kids from Texas show up. They refuse to shake our hands, and we refuse to acknowledge that they were playing football. 34-0 before you knew what was up.
Jeez.
I was at the game and they tried to break, you know, the little new TV like slash jumbotrons they have in the hallway.
Yeah.
They were slamming their helmets against that as they're walking out the thing. I'm like, y'all just trying to find every way to get y'all behind beat today. And I guess it's gonna happen. So
And they did.
Exactly.
We'll have to do.
Hope United lost your bags on the way back to Soto.
We'll have to do maybe like a mid-year high school update. We're not going to talk about Coral Springs High School. We'll catch up on your STA Raiders, but more importantly, we'll catch up on some of the happenings in high school football. Probably a slow start, probably less than desired for Gators QB commit Davin Davidson with Cardinal Moody.
Got to tell you about that one. He played my Newman boys 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it wasn't the best situation. They was blitzing the
crap. I thought they played on Friday, no? Didn't they play on Friday? Yeah. I think Newman won 34-24, some iteration of a score that sounds similar to that. But we'll see with him, obviously a long season ahead. And I know he's replacing all of his wide receiver talent. I think even
he didn't have much help out there. I felt bad watching the tape. Wasn't good for him at all.
Yeah, but
judge him off of that for sure. I think he's doing what he's dealt with, you know. So
yeah,
just take it for what it is.
Can't say the name. That's my boy Davin. Can't compare him. All right, boys. Well, let's get started with our friends over at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. If you are in the panhandle all the way down to the Keys, our man Greg has got you and will hook you up with free quotes. But he can help you insure cars, RVs, motorcycles, boats, anything on wheels, including sewing kits. We're not sure about music festivals, but there's probably stuff at music festivals that he can do. But ask him if you want to put one on, maybe he can point you in the right direction. But Greg has been a longtime supporter of this show and the work of the folks on this show for a very long time. So you can reach Greg at 954. Why don't I forget where you go visit him at BruntInsurance.com. And then you can also call him. Geez, I should know this off the top of my head. 954-589-2204. 954-589-2204. I tell people all the time, you go get checked out twice a year, right? Kind of like going to the dentist, call your insurance people, see if you can save money on any of your insurance needs. Again, it's 954-589-2204. And that's bruntinsurance.com. And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, it's the smart choice when your insurance company needs some tough love. So if you have water damage, sinkhole damage, hurricane damage, flood damage, whatever it might be, and the insurance company's giving you the runaround, give them a call at 727-258-0043 or dykusburkelaw.com. Again, 727-258-0043. All right, boys, we are going to break in with just some overall topics for the chat and for everybody listening. We're going to kind of break down the DBs, the star position, and the safety room a little bit later. And then we're going to break down for what's left of special teams, and that should cover all of the different position groups that we have. Friday, our game day eve will start on Friday. We're still figuring out a time, but that's going to be where we do our predictions. This week, it's obviously going to be some predictions with FAU in the game that we have on Saturday, but we'll also do some kind of season predictions. This is where we get the opportunity to stand on business a little bit. But before we do that, this happened the day after we recorded the last podcast, but Aaron Filo was announced as QB1, the Georgia Tech transfer redshirt sophomore, 3 years of eligibility left, did come over with Buster Faulkner from Georgia Tech, where he served as the backup. I believe he has one career start at Gardner-Webb, also led the team at Georgia Tech against that win against Miami, where all they had to do was kneel the ball. But Mario Cristobal that game, played in five games at Georgia Tech in 2024, 565 yards passing, five touchdowns, 76 rushing yards, and a score. First career start was against Gardner Webb, 21 of 28, 373, one touchdown, one interception. Des, what are your thoughts? Surprise? Anything else?
I'm not really surprised at the entire thing. I think most of us kind of knew this, how it would unfold, just because he was the guy who was the most familiar with the system. And I mean, when you're as a coach, when you're trying to make it your evaluations and pick the guy that you want to lead your team, you want that guy to be the guy that you trust the most with the football and knowing what he's doing, right? And I think if they had any inclination that Tremell didn't know what he was doing, that's what lost him the job. I don't think he necessarily lost his job based upon his play and what he was able to do on the football field with his talent. So all in all, I'm satisfied with it, in my opinion. I mean, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we're not going into week one playing two quarterbacks and just going through that whole mess and looking like a mess of an organization. Like, let's just rock out with one guy. Let's see what he gives us. If he gives us what we need, take us to the promised land, brother. If not, we obviously have a 1A guy ready to go and ready to roll. But overall, I like it. I think that it gives him the confidence going into week one and being able to build his rapport. But one thing I did not like about the whole thing, I wish, obviously, now in hindsight, we feel like we know what it was and you kind of think that, okay, he knew that was a starter all along. But if we kind of did feel like that, I would have much rather him building the chemistry with these guys. Because the reality is, Tremell has the chemistry with the receivers already. Besides Eric Singleton, but the rest of them, he already has the chemistry with those guys. So it's like for him to come in and kind of know the system but not have the chemistry with the receivers, I would have rather them been building that since spring and through training camp, you know, just letting him get familiar with the ones. So when we do fly in week one, week two, obviously we have a good schedule in that. Like our first two games are going to be a good tester for us. But I just really would have loved him to get familiar with the entire offense and being able to know it inside and out, knowing his guys inside and out from the offensive line to the receivers. But he still has a little bit of time, and I'm sure we'll get it together.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I think I'd said to everyone on our message board, I'd said it here, like, hey, I don't think they're going to name a starter. And when I got – so I actually was – I got a text while we were filming, while we were taping last week. And I'm like sitting here doing the show being like, oh crap, I have to be ready for this tomorrow when it comes out.
Nick, we could have filmed something after the show and dropped it after. You know what I mean? What
are
you
good for? A lot going on. I know it was a true quarterback battle. I think you go ahead and you make the move just so Aaron, like, hey, we're going to go with you. We're going to go with you week one. You don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. I still think Tremell will play against FAU. I hope the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus that Aiden Warner and Will Griffin get to play against Campbell.
Sure.
And then I think you go with, unless something, and like I said this before, unless something crazy happens, I don't think you're going to get a change. But there, and I mean this, there has not been like a much separation between either guy. If the starting quarterback against Auburn throws two picks in the first quarter or in the first half, I think John and Buster quickly make a change. Like, because there isn't much separating them in my mind. And now listen, I tell you all that saying, like, I'm not going to position meetings. I'm not going to sit in the room with Buster while they're installing. And then when they're going over, I'm not doing that. So I can't tell you, you know, if there was a bunch of separation from what I see, and I'm not missing any practice. I've been in every single practice for every minute. I think it really truly in my mind is that Aaron is just steady while Tremell has higher highs and lower lows. And he kind of just goes up. He'll make throws that I'm like, I don't know that Aaron Filo makes those throws. Not that Aaron Filo doesn't have a strong arm, but then he will make mistakes that I know, hey, Aaron Filo's not making those mistakes. That's what I mean by higher highs and lower lows. I would tell you that don't be surprised if one quarterback is struggling and the other one goes in. But I still expect to see both guys against FAU. I still expect to see, hopefully, I mean, we said that against USF last year. I hope we see a lot of quarterbacks play, a lot of guys play. against Campbell. But yeah, I congrats to Aaron. Also congrats to Tramiel. I think he handled it well. And honestly, the way we unfortunately have seen seasons go in Gainesville, I mean, we're 2 years removed from QB3 starting a game in Austin, Texas. So you have to be ready.
Yeah, no, 100%. Jordan, I think, where's Brandon Connell's quote? He said Singleton, Stockton, and Harpring all have chemistry with Philo. So, you know, I mean,
not really Singleton. Like Singleton was like
Auburn, right?
It would have been the year before the year they beat Miami. But again, not but really.
Singleton's like wide receiver one versus freshman quarterback. Like
exactly, he's over there. He's on field two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're comparing VB3 Dallas, who was injured for a good portion of last year, Amir Williams, TJ Abrams. I'm sure there's another one that I'm missing.
Amir Jackson.
You just missed a different player.
Justin Williams and Amir Jackson together.
Yeah, shout out to Justin Williams. But then, you know, on the flip side, you have a little bit. So then you add in, you know, probably not great chemistry already with Singleton, but then you add a Mike Amaze and you add some of the freshmen in. So, you know, I don't know how much of a leg up. I mean, Jordan, I think you make a salient argument there, and it's a really good point that there is that chemistry that's already been brewing there. My thought is probably pretty similar to what it was when Philo transferred in, and I'd have to pull the clip. I said, I don't think your offensive coordinator – picks the guy out of the school that he came from with a no contact tag in the transfer portal. And he doesn't probably get the opportunity unless the other guy really beats him out. I'm not saying that it's not possible. I think I tweeted it the other day. I'm not surprised Philo won. I'm surprised that it took up until this point to make the decision. Exactly. So can read that glass half full or glass half empty of neither one of them was doing anything exceptional to win the job, or it was truly a really close battle and Philo ended up eking it out. I hope it's a situation where they're both pushing and challenging one another, but I also hope that it's not the world on your shoulders. You throw an interception or two, you get yanked, and then all of a sudden next game happens, you're the starter again, maybe don't have a great game, you get yanked again, and you have this constant, you know, yanking situation, right? So I don't know how you deal with that and how you balance that. And that's why I'm not getting paid north of $7 million a year to make these choices. I can just talk on a podcast for 2 hours once a week, 3 hours this week on Game Day Eve, sponsored by our friends over at Coastal Yacht Sales. But at the end of the day, I'm excited that we have a quarterback. I think that Philo is a good quarterback. Is he great? You know, there's a question of, you know, is he top 10 in the SEC? Like, I don't know. Here's the list of quarterbacks that are starting in the SEC. I mean,
I could probably give you about three good SEC quarterbacks if we're being completely honest.
I mean, here's three, right? Trinidad Chambliss, obviously, is better. Sam Leavitt, likely better, although not a stellar season last year. Arch Manning had a good end of the season. Byron Brown, we'll see. I mean, I thought he was pretty good at USF, showed out some games, did not beat Florida himself really last year, facing the SEC every week. Gunnar Stockton is probably at least more seasoned at the position. Lenora Sellers has some, you know, but like I look at this list and John Mateer, I think, is ranked really low on this listing here. I think when he's healthy, he's better than seventh. You know, but I don't know. There's a lot of like, I don't know. And there's, to be honest with you, a lot of mid when I look at this group of like, okay, none of these names really stick out. Not none. Most of these names don't stick out and say, oh, wow, they're significantly better, that there's not a chance that Aaron Philo could not be considered in the, you know, top half of the league. And who knows, with a running back like Jaden Ball being top half the league, might be good enough to win you a bunch of football games.
That's what I was thinking. I said, honestly, just like recapping from last year and all of our problems offensively, I felt like it – obviously people blame DJ Lagway, but I don't think it came from Lagway's talent and his ability to make plays. I think it was more so due to the play calling. Everybody knew what we were running. We had not too many tricks in the bag, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's just going to change this year. And I think our coaching staff knows that, and they're kind of on the fence of like, hey, if we can get the guy who creates the least amount of turnovers, it can just protect the ball and give our athletes the ball in space. We have too much talent to be losing games like that. So I have a lot of trust in the offensive line coach as well as our offensive coordinator in that we're going to have a good season offensively, and we may be happy with what we're seeing as Gator fans.
Yeah, we talked about everything starts up front. Like a bad offensive line. Speaking of, shout out to Florida State. Good Lord,
that was their offensive line.
was really was rooting for the Aggies last night. Thought they had them for a minute. But their offensive line stinks.
So bad.
I think I really like where Florida is on the inside, at left guard, center, right guard. With those starters, if they stay healthy, I think that's those guys will perform really well. The questions are at tackle, and we've said this before, like you have so many weapons in the running back room, at receiver. You just need to, and it's going to be on Buster to scheme if there is a deficiency at left tackle, if there is a deficiency at right tackle, if the right tackle is getting his butt whooped. I remember one game last year, I can't remember what it was, Austin Barber is going back to the sideline being like, yo, I need some help over here. Like, I need help. And then John Hevesy, or not John Hevesy, Ron. I know what you
mean. Yeah.
What's his name?
Rob Sale.
Rob Sale is looking at him being like, no, head back out there, buddy.
Idiot.
Go get some more. it's on the coaches to scheme around that. Like, hey, you need to throw Lakota Dupree, who I think is your best blocking tight end. Like, hey, we gotta shade him. We got to throw him to Emeka's left, right shoulder. Put him on Bryce's left shoulder. Like, they need some help. It's going to be, if you're in a position in a game where the edges are giving you a problem, you've got to scheme around it. And I caution you from watching, let's give way too much to my boy Brett Hood. Shout out to Brett Hood. Going to be coaching his first ever game at the college level for FAU. Not to give them anything, but like, you might get a lot of East and West passing. You might get a lot of passing that isn't 30, 40 yards downfield. You might not be taking 7-step drops because that might not be what your offensive line is best at.
But like, Nick, like I agree with you there. And this is, I'm not debating your point. I realize the way that I said that, how often in college football are we seeing most offenses consistently throw the ball 30, 40 yards, unless they have like a first round quarterback that is in the style of football that the SEC or the Big Ten play. You just don't see it that often. You might see it five times a game.
Yeah, like for me, like when you said that, I'm like, well, shoot, Arch Manning and Cam Coleman. Like, but like, how many of those combinations do you have across the country?
And just think of all of the things that have to go right. I mean, you didn't see it much with Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton last year at Auburn with Jackson Arnold at quarterback, right?
And you're not going to see it with Jackson Arnold at the UNLV.
They were hyped up on that first drive or first couple drives. I missed most of the game when they had that bomb. But I just think at the college level, it's really hard. And I care a lot more, like what Jordan said, about you not turning the ball over, you making smart choices. And I think that Florida has probably more than they've ever had wide receivers that you just want to get them the ball in space and say, make something happen from this. And it doesn't have to be a 50-yard bomb. It doesn't have to be a 35-yard slant. It can be, hey, if we can get somebody open on the left middle of the field with 7 yards of wiggle room, let's do something there, right? And kind of be methodical and, you know, have Jaden Ball or the rest of the offense run the ball, up and down the field. So Philo is your starting quarterback, and we'll see him this Saturday evening at the Swamp. Nick, looks like from a camp health perspective, we're in pretty good shape going into the season, which is a nice little surprise.
I didn't even want to say it, but I felt it. I was thinking it. That's a rare find. That's a rare find right there.
Yeah, I think one that will hit close to home to Jordan. You know, Duke Clark has been dealing with like a hamstring. They've mentioned that He didn't scrimmage the first time, scrimmage the second time. I just bring that up because, like, hamstrings are a thing. Like, even when you get to a point where you think you're good, they can kind of linger. But he has practiced. DK Kalu is one. I think he's coming back to practice Monday. But he's one that, you know, Summerall mentioned missed the second scrimmage. He's missed a bunch of time. But, like, Cam James is back. Jaden Baugh's healthy. Dallas Wilson's running 21 miles, 22 miles an hour. BB's healthy. Eric Singleton's healthy. Like, yeah, offensive linemen are healthy.
I'm loving it. Sad for my boy Duke Clark. I feel his pain in that he's in a very stacked room and, like, unfortunate injuries like that. Literally, yeah. It makes it, like, depreciates your gameplay. Like, not that Duke Clark's a bad runner, but you got two dudes that came out the portal who are hungry and ready to play. Yeah. They get their opportunity to make plays, and all of a sudden now your name's forgotten about because you had to deal with a little tweaked hamstring. So now you got to not ride the pine this year, but I mean,
it's going to be tough to get.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, it's only one ball.
What hurts is like, you're. It probably does. What hurts is that, like, one of the guys they brought in is, like, the same creative character as you. Like, you all have the same you all have the same attributes. So it's not like, dang, we lost our third down running back. And once our third down running back is healthy, when it's third down, he's in. It's like, oh, you're hurt. And the guy who was right behind you on the depth chart is the exact same running back as you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're not really missing it. Now, also, when you come back and you're healthy, like, hey, that's fine. Like, hey, we'll take half of Evan's reps and you take those half. But, like, then it might not have been a half-half, you know, timeshare.
Yeah, it might have been.
Also, like, I don't know. Like, I think Jaden Baugh is good for 18 to 24 a game. And how many times are you going to run the ball a game?
That's what I'm getting at. I say this. The carries are alone, like, already. 33? Like, yeah, right? Like.
I mean, especially
33 times a game, there might be, like 11, 12, 13. With the new
clock rules and everything else that we have, I mean, I think that, and we don't know what this offense is going to look like. You can prognosticate based on, like, what you saw with Buster Faulkner at Georgia Tech, but we just don't totally know. But you have to think that this is a 62 to 72 offensive plays a game, maybe 72 mm-hmm. against, like, a Campbell. Right. Maybe not. Maybe you don't want that many. Yeah.
No, you don't
want that many. That means you're struggling to move the ball a little bit. No. But you're just not going to have that many. I don't want a
ton of 15 play drives versus Campbell, Dan.
But Jordan. But
no, definitely 60 is that sweet number. You're right about that.
Yeah, 60, 65. And, you know, you guys are right. I mean, everybody wants Jaden Baugh to tote the rock this year. And assuming, knock on wood, healthy all season, there's going to probably be some people that don't want you to take him out of the game. Now, he's going to tap his helmet and everything else, but you probably don't want Jaden Baugh at the 13-14, and you're trying to fight, you know, how do we get Montgomery and Pryor and Duke Clark the ball? It's like, you three, when Duke Clark's healthy, might be battling for 11 plays.
Literally.
Yeah. And you better make it worth it. So we'll see. But I do feel for the kid because at the end of the day, Jordan, like, the same way that you talked about Byron Lewis, like, kind of sucking it up and sticking it out for a year.
Yeah.
You're losing three running backs next year.
Literally. It's going to be his show next year. I hope he knows that. And I hope he feels in his brain that, okay, because you got to think last year he got playing time that he probably didn't expect to get, right? You had Jack Cheese there, Jaden Baugh there. You didn't think to kind of come in and play as a true freshman, like how he was playing. And, I'm sure riding off of that horse is kind of like, I'm coming in year two. And now I'm like, being the running back two or three is almost like being running back five because of who you have at one, you know? So he knows that. And I hope that he can just see through the rain and be like, okay, let me just cool it off. I'm at the University of Florida. Next year, this is my show. Next year, I'm going to be that guy who's going to be doing all these big things and making big plays in the swamp. So I hope he had that mindset. He's a Clearwater, Florida guy, right? Florida guy, right?
Tampa.
Okay. Yeah, I like Tampa, that. Yeah. Florida guy, he probably not going to leave. Like, I would have been more scared if he was a Georgia guy. You know, we get some Georgia guys sometimes. But I would have been more scared then because I'm like, okay, he might get a little little message from the boys up the road or something like that, and then you're itching to go home. At least you, I know you in Florida. You're not about to go to USF.
Bro, oh, wow. Look at Jordan throwing shots at his former running mate, Jordan Cronkright. Wow. So funny. Look at that.
I actually talked to him 2 days ago. That's my boy, though. He's still my boy. He actually, we talked 2 days ago. We were talking, I guess, we were doing like a fantasy football league, me and him and Tim Irvin. I don't know if I remember that
recruit. Yeah, geez.
Westminster guy, so yeah. Auburn guy. Tim Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
Westminster Christian, went to Auburn, safety slash, I think he's like athlete, but I think he primarily played like safety slash DB or whatever. But yeah, we were all in a little group chat and we were just all talking about, we doing like a little fantasy league. So got to connect with old Jordan Squared, as I used to call it back in the day. We was spending our time at Florida together.
I think I used to write it Jordan's Cronkite and Scarlet.
You're right.
Cronkite and Scarlet.
Trust me, a lot of people got us confused. Even
it's the
guy
like attorneys general.
I forgot who we had on the pod the other day. He was like, "Yeah, even at your time at USF," I was like, "Ron Jordan, buddy."
No, no,
sir. bro, you saying Jack Cheese made me go look it up. Shout out to the2deep.com. I think they do a good job.
Great website, dude.
Go to the2deep.com. Yeah, I looked at Florida's and. Very accurate. Florida will come out with one tomorrow. I'll probably put it up tonight on Victorious.
Look at you, Nick.
But Jack Cheese in a battle for backup running back. Obviously, they've got Bo Jackson up there.
Yeah, they got Bo Jackson.
I've heard of him. I can't believe he's still able to play.
Yeah. Well, you know, depending on a judge, you know. But yeah, shout out to Jack Cheese going up.
Speaking
north.
Of shout outs, let's give Stephen Harris a shout out. Go, Stephen Harris, big fan of the show, good friend in real life, great dude.
What up, my boy?
It's good to see Champ. Good to see Champ here. Let's see, friend of the program, Todd Golden.
Todd, man,
$49.5 million, 6-year extension, $8.25 million average annual salary. He is going $7.5 million into this year, so another $750,000 on average starting the year after that. Highest paid coach in Florida program history in any sport.
Wow.
Top five nationally among college coaches. Bonuses include $100,000 for an SEC regular season title, $50,000 for winning the SEC tournament, $100,000
this year, Todd.
Dude, $100,000 for just making the NCAA tournament, $50,000 per win.
Scott. What are we doing with that one?
$50,000 win.
They're just giving my boy. They're just giving my boy what he deserves. That's all. That's how I see it.
Well, hold on. Look at this. So, Todd, first 2 years, obviously took over Mike White's disaster towards the end. 16-17 in year one, 9-9. 24-12 in year two. 36-4, 27-8, 16-2, 14-4. Todd is 30-6. In the SEC the last two seasons, 103-41 overall. It's a 71.5% winning clip over 4 years.
A goat. They just announced a game in Jacksonville. Off the top of my head, I forgot who they're playing. They will be playing in Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville. Did they announce a South Florida game? I thought they did. Maybe. Yeah, they did. So they're going to be playing. And we alluded that on the show. I got the chance to interview Todd Golden, I don't know, 8 weeks ago. I don't even know. Time flies when you're having fun. And we were talking about how they were going to announce more of these. So those are starting to come more into fruition. Tawan, the Aberdeen situation is still up in the air. Florida's willing to go to whatever legal remedies they have to get Denzel to play. They feel confident that they can get him to play. So currently he's not able to, but Florida will exercise all recourse to make sure that he does.
Denzel's in the same position as as anyone in 2022. It's just the reason that for the confusion is that something will happen and they'll say like, yep, you're good to go. You can come back. You can play. And then something will happen. Like, ooh, nope, you can't. And then something will happen. And it just keeps changing. But Denzo and Xavier Lee are in the same position. The same would go for Micah Handlogden, who committed to Ole Miss. Like, yeah, it's going to continue playing itself out. The biggest difference is basketball has a little bit more time for it to play out than football, which we are currently in an active season.
And Baylor will be playing UF in an exhibition game in Jacksonville. Thanks, UF Gators and Brandon Connell. There is a out clause in the contract. His buyout is $16 million if he leaves for another college job, $13 million after this season, $13 million the year after, declines after. There is some language in there, though. If Scott Strickland is not the athletic director, that number drops substantially. And Brandon here, love Brandon, thinks that it is a poison pill for Scott Strickland. And I have a different take. I think it's a Todd Golden poison pill for a guy that he likes working for and says, hey, if there's going to be some substantial changes here in the organization, that he wants to be able to have that flexibility. So that's my take on it. I think that this might be Todd Golden also wanting to protect himself more than Scott Strickland, who has a contract through the duration of 2030 and then a position after that in his contract. But that's just my take. Open to hear some different thoughts.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. That's the thing. People like already forget that Scott had that extension. I'm just trying to pull it up now, Dan. But yeah, he signed a 3-year deal. I think it's an AP story. So what does it run till? Strickland?
I think it runs through stadium construction.
He is under Florida. He signed a 3-year extension that keeps him under contract as the athletic director until 2030. And then it's like another 5 years after that in sort of an advisory role, almost like Jeremy Foley had the athletic director emeritus, whatever it was called. So like people yelling for Scott's job, Scott's pretty set. And then I think Scott's also at the age where like in 8 years, I think he'll retire.
Yeah. I don't think Scott will be
not calling you old, Scott. I know you're a weekly listener.
We have talked and he does at least occasionally listen, but I also think that there is maybe some like AI printouts of like what we talk about. Cause there's some stuff that's been talked about on this show that has been brought to my attention that other people that I don't think have time to weekly listen, unless they do, which we appreciate all of you.
Bro, they're throwing Claude's just reading transcripts, making synopsis.
There you can do it. Shout out to my boy Claude. Claude's been huge for the quality of life here. Champ, I know you're in the chat asking goose egg or not for UF versus FAU this weekend. We're going to chat about that on Friday, but feel free to chat.
Good, because I don't know.
I know
I've FAU got six. I got 6 days to figure out FAU. I'm gonna have to call my buddy who is one of like the wide receiver GAs. Hey, what do you guys got?
The FAU has a quarterback that can sling it, though.
I know Nathaniel about it.
That's all I know.
I mean, that's the head coach is like the Patrick Mahomes old quarterback. I mean, coach from Texas Tech, right?
I think so. So that's on Aberdeen. Want to give a quick shout out to the people in the super chat here. Tawan, we appreciate you. I don't know what jewels are, what they're good for, but we appreciate them. I'm sure one day we'll be able to cash them in for like a gem, and then you get 100 gems, and you can get a ruby, and then you get, you know, 1,000 rubies, and then you get $1. No, but we appreciate it. And then this is from earlier. Unique, as long as Florida fans do the wave on defense, we'll win. Yeah, that goes back to Dan Mullen instructing his fan base on how to watch a football game there.
The wave is like the that's the most curmudgeon I think that I am. I'm all for having fun. Do your turnover chains. By the way, Florida's defense might have one. And by might, I mean will. You can get angry at it. You can love it. You can hate it. But you'll see it. Hopefully Saturday you'll see it.
We better see it Saturday.
I'm telling you.
It's a turnover. Not a chain. It's not a chain.
Turnover something. We can leave a little mystery. Turnover.
Yeah, there you go. You'll see it. Hopefully. Please.
He said, hopefully.
Please.
No, I don't see it. I'm going to be PO'd.
Yeah. We're going to talk about turnovers here in a second. We better see some turnovers.
Yeah. Doing the wave, like, that's as curmudgeon as I'll get. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? There's a game going on, and now I'm watching sections over to see. I don't participate in the wave. I don't like it. Ban the wave. Do something else. Watch the game. You paid a bunch of money to watch.
Does the offense have a prop? Turnover or a touchdown trophy, maybe?
No, only prop. I don't want no prop you.
Offense. For
no props on offense.
Okay.
You're supposed to do no that.
People that don't eat at Embers or the Columbia do. The
I do want to exactly ask right. you, Nick.
Your boy will be at Embers this week.
Which day, Nick, so people can go and send you stuff?
Nope. Okay. Nope.
I was about to say, I have been seeing some stuff on Twitter about my boy Will Griffin. I know you've been at practice. Has he been looking like what Twitter has been portraying him as in can potentially be sneaky good for us in the future? Not this year, obviously.
Yeah, thank you for I'm not in the spaces, so I don't know. Bye, Dan. Look, but bro, he doesn't live in the penthouse anymore, but I bet you he's still getting those groceries delivered.
Oh, you better believe
smell
it.
You can just smell the wealth. it's interesting because I was talking with Dave Caldwell about it, and I don't know. So, like, when the depth chart comes out, so, like, you also know how depth charts work. So, when the depth chart comes out tomorrow,
yeah, all that crap and
Jason Zandamella will be your backup center. But if Harrison Moore gets hurt, TJ Shanahan slides over and plays center. Mm-hmm. So, like, TJ Shanahan, for all intents and purposes, is your backup center. But, like, Jason Zandamella will be backup center. So, like, I don't know who will be QB3 if they go three. And it would be interesting to me to see, like, when they would go to Will Griffin versus go to Aiden Warner. I think Will Griffin is your third best quarterback right now. He still makes freshman mistakes. Like,
for sure. And you got to think he feels – not to say he feels no pressure to do – anything else, but he knows he's not about to be a starting quarterback this year.
Yeah,
but he's out there just probably at Midtown going to practice.
No. He's not like that. So he and I were talking after we were hanging out with Justin Gaethje. I was fanboying out.
I forgot to ask you about that.
I was fanboying out.
I would have too, bro. I love
fighters. Yeah, I was fanboying out. But we were sitting there talking, so like he and I are both sneakerheads. Jordan, got some. Hold on, we got some.
Oh, you got some heat right now. Okay,
we got
a little lights. Some slide. I don't got
nothing. Off lights on the feet today.
I don't got nothing too crazy. But
okay,
I always got to keep the Jordan
finder.
Oh Dan! Oh no! So
he brought the dogs up.
That's crazy. We just got demonetized. We gotta take Stadium and Gale to Patreon, to OnlyFans. Dan's just naked dogs out on the somebody clipped that for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm talking to Will Griffin about, like, oh, what shoes are you gonna come out with? Because he's gotten some, like, customs done. He's like, buddy, not starting. We're not going crazy with the kicks this year. He goes, next year or the year after, when I become the starter, he goes, the kicks will be crazy. But yeah, I think he has the strongest arm of the all five quarterbacks in the room. They're all
pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard some mixed reviews on his mechanics, at least coming into UF. Maybe about some quarterback coaching. Just what I heard.
Yeah. Well, I think you have an actual quarterback coach this year. So
that should be a good plus for us and for him.
Yeah, but, like, good kid. Enjoy chopping it up with him. He is the best runner of them. I think probably the most natural runner of all the quarterbacks.
I love that.
What's that face for, Jordan?
I was a little surprised when you said it. But
why? Why would you be surprised?
I just didn't know that he had a good pair of hamstrings on. Oh, you know, everybody gets blessed with a pair of hamstrings. It's up to you how good they move.
No accusations. Just wondering why. Why you thought Will Griffin? Well, that'd be strange.
It was all anatomy based for sure. Hamstrings to glute ratio, that's for sure.
Melanin had nothing to do with it.
Not at all.
Okay. Sneaky fast. I don't know what situation. I mean, if you're getting down to QB3, like you're in a bad spot.
Yeah,
that's
right. Any team in the country, you're in a bad spot if you're down to QB3, but. Yeah, he's definitely a developmental guy, and he's going to have time. Like you mentioned it, whether even next year you have a third-year Tramiel or a third-year, fourth-year Philo coming back for the 27 season. So, like, he signed up for it when it was still DJ Lagway and Tramiel. So, like, he understood the assignment when he signed it on the dotted line to begin with.
That's true. Well, I'm happy for it. I'm glad that we can get a guy like that on our roster. I think the way our coaching staff is going about like building through the recruiting high school as well as picking up pieces in the portal is the way to go. And I feel safe with that. Obviously around portal time, my gut may get a little queasy. I don't know who's gonna leave, who's gonna stay, but I mean that's gonna happen every year. So regardless if you're living out the portal or living out of high school. So hopefully the brand can run deep enough to some of these cats and be able to, you know, have them sticking around.
Absolutely.
Let me peel the curtain back real quick. When we had our kids, or when we had Frankie, I lost my office. My parents bought a house in the same neighborhood. So I've recreated the office. World War III is happening on the other side of this door right now. I hope it's not coming through the microphone.
But you're good.
Frankie is not happy with whatever is happening on the other side.
You're like, Daddy's got to work.
Better than my World War III right there, because I had to get out of the war in order for y'all not to hear it, because it was too loud.
My goodness, Jordan's out in the backyard.
No World War III happening out there. Just the end of the golf tournament. I think it might be over now. Nick, I want to ask you a question. I saw Justin. Is it Justin Gaethje? Is that how you pronounce it?
Gaethje.
Justin Gaethje.
Sorry, I'm not a big UFC guy. No, I'm not perfect. Came to speak to the team this week. Who's been your favorite guest speaker or moment from a guest this year? Obviously, a lot of the all of the national championship winning and SEC championship winning coaches spoke to the team. A couple special guests. Who was your favorite?
Todd Golden was – so Todd Golden, it went in order. Todd Golden, Jenny Rowland, Tim Walton, Mouse – JC Deacon, then Sully, and then Justin Gaethje kind of came out of nowhere. Todd Golden, putting up shots. I had to throw Todd Golden into Claude to take out some cursing. Claude came back with an astronomical number. I was like, that sounds right. I think Mouse was really good. Jenny was super interesting because Jenny was the day after Todd, and I was like, this is going to be totally different. Also, Jenny has a team of like 12 girls, women, who like the tallest one is 5'5", and she's about to walk into a in front of a 117 6 foot to 6 foot eight, 340 pound animals. She was good. I think the sneaky best ones were Mouse and JC Deacon. JC Deacon comes out and he goes, "Holy shit, this is a lot bigger than a golf team." but he's a hockey guy. So like he grew up playing hockey, the physicality of hockey. He loves it, eats it up. But like JC towards the end of it, is just like yelling like LFG. Like the guys got up for JC towards the end of it. I think those two, those were my top three, but JC Deacon, probably the sneaky one that got guys going where I didn't know how a golf coach would translate to talking to a football team.
It's awesome.
And then Justin Gaethje was really good. Once he talked for a little bit, but then just like opened the floor for questions. So I was there when he talked to the basketball team. And when he talked to the football team and hearing first off, shout out to the guys. The basketball team asked a ton of questions. The basketball team might have asked like 25 minutes worth of questions. But the guys being locked in, listening and asking questions, I think that's when they really got it, got the most out of it. And I don't know how this happened because it was a surprise. Someone told Tommy Houck. Tommy Houck, I've got a picture of it, showed up, and maybe he just has him in his locker. But Tommy Houck, where is it? Showed up with a pair of gold UFC gloves.
Oh.
That he was able
to have that kind of
that he was able to get signed.
Oh, that's sick.
That's fire. Yeah, I was about to say that's going up in the crib for forever.
But yeah, Justin Gaethje, also great golfer, went straight off a plane from Colorado, fired a 78 at Hawkstone.
Oh, sick. Not an easy course to shoot 78 on. I would know.
78, yeah. Some guys asking for a leg kick. Insane. Insane.
Yeah, you couldn't pay.
I don't think I want no part of that leg kick. That's you know worse than
because they know how to break your leg. Like you,
yeah, yeah. Like he's probably throwing it 10%, and guys were like, "Oh my god, that hurts!" And he's like, "Yeah,
yeah." That's worse than a helmet to the thigh. I don't care what nobody says.
Talking to some of the guys who like don't know, like aren't MMA fans. I'm a huge MMA nerd, huge MMA fan. Man. Talking to some of them, I was telling them, like, there's offensive linemen that are like, he's a champion. And I'm like, the fight between you and him ends whenever he decides he's done. Like,
yeah, right. He's got the best hands in the locker room. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I've had when he's like, all right, this lasted long enough. Let's just either like leg sweep and you're in a choke and now you're 99 or just like, 3-piece chicken nuggets, fight's over.
You really don't stand a chance either way.
Yeah.
No. But that would be nuts. Will makes a funny comment.
Imagine Will, we were offering up GAs. We were offering up Quincy Wilson. We were offering up David Reese. We were not offering up actual players.
Right. I don't think I would offer myself up for that. I'm good off it. I'll watch you kick somebody else, but you ain't gonna get me.
And he's a leg kick specialist. So, I mean, what are we doing here? Now we got to start. Now I got IQ questions about the team. Nick. Now you start to sow doubt in my predictions going into next year. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, as John Summerall said, if we take a couple more wins for a couple 0.2, 0.3 off the team GPA, I accept that.
Maybe that's what we need. You know what I mean?
I accept it. We don't need a 3-6 football team GPA.
I'm fine with a 3-0.
I'm with the 3-0. B's get degrees.
Set of C's.
That's
wouldn't right. Encourage it, but, you know, they do. I want to get into DBs and safeties. This has been a great, great show. Great chemistry. Love it. But this is a comment that just kind of made me laugh. Did you guys see this Dejan Love story on the internet? If you're unfamiliar or you don't notoriously live online, I encourage you to go check out this story. His name is Dejan, Dejan Love. He just got arrested for committing like $1.3 million in fraud by basically convincing people to send him money. And he was trying to play the part of a guy that was on the 49ers practice squad, but he was injured. That's why you couldn't like look him up. And he didn't really play college football. He got it on a private like workout, whatever it is. It's sad and it's like disappointing. But it has been really, really interesting to watch on the internet because now they're exposing a bunch of other people that have.
But I have an unpopular take.
Okay.
Why am I sending money NFL player?
100%.
How many NFL player? Just simple Google search, simple Instagram search. How many other NFL players are wearing their team-issued helmet on the beach?
Never.
Running the ugliest.
So it's at some point.
No, that's why I said it's sad, right? Like, there's more to it. It's disappointing.
At some
point, it wasn't
his fault.
No, it's 100% his fault. It doesn't mean that the other people.
He was acting slimy, but
talking about how you want to drop IQ points from the team and how you just said guys said
not that many. Not that many.
Nah, that's terrible, Dan. Nah,
yeah, the whole thing. The whole thing's sad.
Man. I don't think he did the right thing.
No,
he's not a commendable thing.
I'm just saying, what NFL guys asking you to send him money?
We only hear like part of the story. Like it could have been an investment in something. It could have been in, you know, hey, send me this, I'll buy this for you.
How many NFL guys are asking you to invest?
I don't know. There was enough people that fell into the con. Nick obviously is on the side of the con man. I'm not. I am for women. But Nick. Yeah. You and I can be on the wrong and right side of history. We'll find out which side's the right one and which one's the wrong one. It's just interesting. Just kind of, you know, the internet will always find out. So whatever you're doing, your time is ticking. And Nick Serrano's on your team. So it's three against me. I've got the FBI on my side. You've got Nick Jordan and Nick Serrano in the group chat. Oh, I guess they cut Love today. So, Oh, man.
Damn. I got to give it to him, though. That was a legendary run for him.
Pop up his Venmo. He's now been cut. He definitely needs more help and more assistance. Yeah.
Venmo is Dan-Thompson- on Aberdeen, we talked a little bit about it earlier. Florida feels like he's going to play and they'll do whatever they can. So to make sure that he does. So let's get into the secondary for the Gators coming up. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. If you want a really cool cup like this one.
Or mine.
Old Gator.
Hold on. This awesome one was ones. Made just for us. Shout out to the guys when they came in. But maybe we can work out an idea where we start selling these for football.
Yeah, put that on the website or something. Let me get right.
Yeah, I got one, Nick. You drop the victorious.
Take these cups. To
drop
school.
The victorious, cuz.
It's a good old ChatGPT image. Right.
Wow.
Fire. And then that's Dan.
Yeah, that's the old. That's the old school one. I love that. I have that on a golf polo that I wear. All right, guys. Let's get a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Again, a really cool cup. Keep your hot drinks hot, cold drinks cold. Stainless steel, going to be the best cup and a cup that you're going to use all the time. I use them literally every single day. I've given them out as gifts to clients. I've given them out as family gifts. They are going to be cups that last you a really long time. The one that Nick has, I think, is like 4 years old. I have the same one, and there's no issues to it at all. Like it doesn't chip. It doesn't do anything other than keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 will get you 15% off of your order. Jordan, I like that one. What's on the bottom?
Yeah, I do. I bought like three new ones because I wanted to send – my son needs them to like go to school because they have like their little water cup and then like a bigger one to like
– What do you got on the bottom of that one there, Jordan?
That's his little –
His name.
Oh. Yeah, so it's text. So I stole this cup for the day. I did. Wow. Sorry.
Wow. Dad of the year. Same name.
We got the same name, so we share a lot of things. So I stole this cup. He has a lot to do with. He has like a white one that I got that has the same logo on it, the old Biden Albert. I mean, but yeah.
Listen, no better vessel to put our Florida Victorious bourbon in. I compare it to like Four Roses. I think that's a fair assessment. Fourth Char is like Four Roses, like a Four Roses small batch, and then I think Death Roll. So Fourth Char, I would make an old fashioned. Death Roll, I would just drink it neat or on a rock.
So how do I get a hold of those again?
Jordan, next time I see you, I'll bring you a bottle.
Free shipping right now, which
I guess it doesn't help Florida Victorious. Jordan, what if you gave a donation to Florida Victorious and I'll give you?
I will do that. I'm just trying to find out where to. I just point me in the right direction. That's all I'm asking.
If you're in, Dan, are you pointing north?
technically south.
Jordan, I got a bottle for you. If you want to buy your own, that's great. But I got a bottle for you next time you're in Gainesville. You gotta let me know. Swing by the office.
Well, I'll do both. How about that? I'll purchase one and take you up on that offer when I come to game.
You purchase the expensive one, I'll give you the cheap one.
I love that.
Oh man. All right. Smash the like button while you're here. Let's get a quick look at the secondary. 22 total defensive backs, 10 cornerbacks, 3 at the star nickel, 9 safeties. Projected first team right now. Ben Hanks. Cormani McClain.
Okay.
Dijon Johnson.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be Ben Hanks and Dijon.
Okay.
But really, I think you've got those three, and those three rotate. Ben Hanks, Cormani, Dijon, with Javari Flowers being the fourth guy.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what we thought. Any expectation of Jordy Lowry, the transfer from ECU, Nick?
Fifth. Be your fifth guy. Okay. And then he would be your fifth guy. And then after him, you've got – I don't think Javier Jones can play this year. I think that's like an eligibility thing. I don't know, though. And then
Javier Jones.
Sorry.
He's a transfer from JUCO.
Mountain Point. Yeah.
I think it's like a JUCO thing timing-wise. I don't think he can play this year. But then CJ Brano and Onis Konabani. I think CJ probably ahead of Onis. But I mean, you're talking about like four guys getting hurt before we're down there.
You're sure. Guys get
hurt. Yeah. But Dijon's healthy. I was actually talking to him at practice the other day, and I forgot that he had shoulder surgery too. So he had shoulder surgery, missed all of like the offseason heading into last year, and then tore his ACL, MCL against Miami. So like week two, week three, whatever that was, week two. And then had to have another procedure in the off season. So like he's been injured.
Week four.
He's been injured for in some form or fashion, either injured or doing rehab for like the last 18 months.
That's tough.
And as senior, I think he's a senior, like last year of eligibility, I'm sure you could get, you know, a hardship if you wanted to, but like money year for him. Hopefully he stays healthy, plays well.
Well, when we do this podcast in a few years, we'll never have to worry about hardships and transfers and all this other stuff. We got
five local judges, TROs. Local
judges. So that's what we've got. We've got Ben Hanks, who has really shown out. This year is from what I've heard of this offseason. Again, I'm not there, so this opinion is second and third hand that Ben Hanks is truly maybe one of Florida's next great cornerbacks that's come out of the orange and blue. Then you've got former five-star Cormani McClain, Dijon Johnson, and then Javari Flowers, who played quite a bit at the end of last year as a sophomore. When it comes to the nickel and star position, Nick, Kanye Clark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, Kanye Clark will be your starter there. We talked about the star. So like Kanye Clark and then like Elijah Owens would be behind him.
Nick, but, let me just touch on, on Elijah Owens real quick. Transfer from Northwest Mississippi Community College. Again, another guy that maybe fans have kind of forgotten about because he was again from the JUCO ranks. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think if you're using a true nickel, it'll be Kanye Clark. And that when you get heavy is when you'll slide down a Bryce Thornton or you slide down. Yes. Right here. Yeah. So the way that they view safety is the nickel is the safety. The safeties are in the same room with the nickels. You get into like a heavier set, Bryce Thornton will slide down. Then you put like Cam Dooley on the field with DJ Coleman at safety. So it's kind of a just basically package wise what you're doing.
I mean, 43 on the field.
Alfonso Allen. Yeah.
I've seen it in person, in action. The kid is hungry.
Yeah. Jordan, let me tell you this now. He is playing with no swag, no drip. No gloves.
And that's the one.
That's what I like to see it.
No gloves. Chub kind of guy. Yeah. Just down to get it. Lunch pail guy. Huh? That's what you call him.
There's something about anyone on defense not playing with gloves on.
Like, I don't need that extra stick on my
arm. I don't want no extra swag. Come on and play ball.
See if I can talk him in this week. Talk him into putting a neck roll on. Just put a little old neck roll.
Yeah.
Right. Taped fingers, just taped in between the knuckles.
That's what we need. The taped fingers. That's right.
He plays. He's like on the second team. So like it's Allen and Dooley, I think. Then or Allen and Laganza. Laganza and Dooley kind of play the same spot, so they won't be on the field at the same time. But that'd be your next wave in. It will be interesting for me to see how they use that, because I really, really, if someone's four wide, like Kanye Clark's on the field. If there's 12 personnel, the offense comes out in 12 personnel, Kanye's off, and then they're adding a third safety. So you'd have a safety, Thornton or Dooley or somebody like that, playing nickel with the guys up top.
I do want to issue a show correction on myself. This is correct. Isaiah Owens was at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. He recorded his first interception against Northwest Mississippi Community College. That's on me. So I'll take my left hand in the chat.
Let's go, Will. Yeah. Let's go, Will. Let Dan have.
That's how we like to show accountability on this show. So Jordan, you make a good point. Let's move to that safety position real quick, where Alphonso Allen is. You have DJ Coleman coming in. DJ Coleman playing three seasons at Baylor. Played a lot as a freshman. Opportunity for him, and it looks like he is going to be one of your starting safeties alongside Bryce Thornton, who we've obviously seen a lot. 593 snaps last year for DJ Coleman, two interceptions, four pass breakups, and a forced fumble. Has a ton of snaps under his belt, a lot of it in more of a reserved role, but played in played in 11 games as a freshman, 12 games in 2024, and then played in every game last season as a starter but one. So a lot of snaps for him at safety, and then obviously Bryce Thornton, your highest ranked guy on College Football 27.
And he has a number one. Let's not discredit how good the number one at the University of Florida and the standard that should be held for somebody who wears number one at the University of Florida should be. So, Bryce, I know you've been on the show. Hopefully this comes across your Twitter page. But you better live up to the expectation that the number one at the University of Florida has shown over the years. It may have been diminished by a few players over the past 5 years. I ain't calling no names on nobody. But the original standard, that number
is... kid from Georgia?
I'm not trying to do that.
Nick, I didn't name any names. So many guys
go there. I'll go there with you.
Hold on. He's still in the league.
That's surprising. Yep. I'm sure he's still out on the Packers.
I don't know.
I'm sure at any point now the Dolphins will trade for him. Oh, that's the only place to think.
Don't do that to us like that, Dan. Don't do that.
Stink. Whoa. I think Janoris Jenkins would have a word with that. Janoris.
I think Reggie Nelson might have.
Reggie Nelson.
I love Kiwan Ratliff. Yeah. Kiwan.
But Kiwan. Kiwan. Forgotten
about. He was also an unbelievable returner.
Punt returner. Yep. Kick returner. Punt returner.
That's what I'm saying, guys. If you really go back to the history of the number one,
I think Rat started it. I think Rat started that number one wave.
Right. Which I love. I mean,
We got Reggie Nelson. Reggie Nelson by far. And give me Reggie Kiwan.
We forget that we only had Reggie for a year, though. Like Reggie was a JUCO, came over. Was he for 2 years or only one?
Two years.
We did get him for two. Yeah. But that was the original one I heard. Like water covers 75% of the earth, and Reggie Nelson covers the other 25%.
Yeah, and then when he was on the bench, Dan Thompson was doing it in intramural football at UF.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not a single pass. Striking fear in the hearts of any slot receiver wearing a flag.
Nick, take it up with the intramural league. You know what I mean? Maybe we were playing in the lower division of the fraternity. Who's to know this day and age, right?
No.
Who's to know?
Top tier.
Getting back to it real quick, DJ Coleman, high expectations out of him. Have heard good things about him this offseason. Bryce Thornton, your other starter there. Cam Dooley, guy that transferred over from Kentucky with Brad White, the new defensive coordinator. I think a lot of people penciled him in as a starter. I think he'll play quite a bit, but I don't think he's your starter.
Mm-hmm. Who? Sorry, I was stuck reading chat.
Yeah. Oh, Cam Dooley. Sorry.
Shout out
to Yeah, Keith. So your starters will be Coleman and Thornton. Our boys over at Two Deep got a little off here. I think Cam Dooley and Alfonso Allen would be your backups. And then Shady, Lagonza Hayward is ahead of Stubbs, too.
Yeah.
Stubby.
Mandarin man.
I like the group. I got some concerns on depth of defensive back for our cornerback.
Yeah, cornerback specific.
Because then once you get past Flowers, McLean, Dijon, and Hanks, then you're going to CJ Bronow, true freshman, Javion Toombs.
Two boot. Walk-on. Javion Toombs is
redshirt senior walk-on.
Doesn't even get snaps in practice.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a special teams player, but an exceptional special teams player. Like a guy that's going to get a NFL camp invite for what he does on special teams.
I love it, dude. Get down and dirty on them special and them teams. Let me say special teams.
Also a rapper.
If you're going Nick, you brought up this before we chatted. I want to talk about him being a rapper too. But tell the story that Cassie was telling you about why Felipe Franks stuck around in the NFL as a tight end after his transfer from quarterback.
Yeah, shout out to Cassidy Hill, great friend. Saw her. She is the team reporter for the Carolina Panthers now. Went mega viral for her clip of Kyle Trask throwing a pass to Felipe Franks in Carolina Panthers training camp. She was talking to one of the coaches there, and obviously Felipe Franks gets drafted, quarterback, goes to the league. They give him a chance to play quarterback. Hey, not going to happen. I remember seeing him on special teams, and he was so good at special teams that he was making a 53 roster just for special teams, which afforded him the time to learn how to run routes, how to block as much as he's going to be asked to block. But it's crazy to think that a quarterback at the University of Florida was good enough on special teams that he's now in year six. And I don't know. I know today's cut day. Tomorrow's cut day to get down to 53. I don't know if he's going to make the roster in Carolina, but I think they traded for somebody. They just signed Janu. But he might make the roster as a fourth tight end, which NFL teams don't keep four, just because he will be a starter on all four special teams.
Shout out to my boy Felipe, man. My boy finding a way to grind and stick it through. You can knock him on all his quarterback issues and all the Gator fans have the hate about him, but the kid's a baller and the kid's an amazing athlete. I mean, that's showing to this day.
And there's a Dave Canales says Panthers Felipe Franks is one of the best special teams aces in the NFL. That's how you make a roster.
I'm trying to tell you, put your pride to the side, brother.
Gun.
Keon Hayden Leo.
Shield.
Let's see. I think that's it. You got some hard hitters there. You got a little bit more depth at safety, maybe, than I realized. I think you are going to see Alfonso Allen. What a story he is. A former three-star from Baylor, walked on at UF, played well, and to a point where everybody was noticing when 43 was on the field last year, not just because of his number, but because of how he played the game at UF. Played the game last season. Let's talk a little bit about special teams. Patrick Durkin is your kickoff guy. He's also your place kicker. He is a transfer that you guys are all familiar with from Tulane, came over with John Summerall. Behind him is Liam Padron. He transferred from Texas A&M, previously a St. Augustine guy, Bartram Trail. So that's who you've got to be familiar with the name Patrick Durkin on some of the Ray Guy watch lists entering this season.
One thing on him before we move to punter. Durkin missed, I think, the first scrimmage, and Liam Padron was good. But I don't, there's no competition there really. The one thing that I think we've gotten spoiled with watching the Gators is like Trace Mack. I just saw him kick a 58 yarder. Like, I don't think Durkin has that kind of leg. Very accurate, but I think like 52 might be the range. I don't know if they trot him out there from 55, 56, 57. But like enough leg, and then he's been extremely accurate from like 45 and in, and also PATs. I know we expect those to happen, but I think he's perfect in his career.
The embarrassment of riches at kicker that Florida's had over the last 15, 20 years has been been crazy. There's been a couple of years that people will know and remember vividly on the place kicking job at UF. But other than that, it looks like we should hopefully carry that through. Alec Clark is your punter, another Aussie that signed at – he was at Tulane last season. And before that, he was at Southern Miss, if I remember correctly.
For a spring. Okay. Very interesting. My guy has been everywhere. Started at Marshall. Basically,
we are.
Basically, he has followed Jonathan Galante from stop to stop. So he left Marshall, went to Southern Miss. But Galante got hired by John Summerall at Tulane. So Galante was there in the spring and then got hired. And then
they live together?
I don't believe so. Galante, family man, wife and kids, and Alec Clark is not one of his kids. But very good punter. I think he has been like same kind of leg that Tommy Doman has. But I think he's been a little bit less erratic than Doman was with some of the, you know, just like random freak misses. It can happen. Despite being Australian, I don't see much of the – they've worked on, you know, the running, the Aussie-style kicks, which I hate. But Al Clark has been good. And then who – I'm trying to rack my mind.
Miller Feely, the transfer from Oklahoma. Is behind him?
I think so.
Or Nicholas Ingles, who's a walk-on. So,
yeah. No, I think it's Feely.
Yeah, Ingles. It's either Ingles or Inglis. Was the number 10 punter and a 5-star recruit, and won the whole showcase winter camp.
The other thing about Alec Clark that I had never thought about before, and. In the chat, if you have
thought about punter, you've thought about everything. So,
yeah. If the Galante said, and another coach who I asked about it said, he is an elite holder.
Okay.
They don't do an award for holder. But then I was talking to Johnny Townsend about it, who was a holder, both at Florida and then in the NFL level, and he said there is a talent to it. And I've seen Alec Clark just like, boom, like take a high snap, get it down, flip it. So yeah, that's another aspect you don't think about.
Okay. I love that. Love to hear that. So, some familiarity there, obviously both coming over, from Tulane, both as, special teams, kickers, people that hit the ball with their foot, but also from a holding and how to hold it perspective too, because there is a science and an art that goes into that. Nick, at punt return, you're looking like VB3.
Yeah. I think our boys over here at Two Deep are a little bit off, but VB3, I think, will be your punt returner. They've got Jaden Ball on these. I don't see Jaden Ball back there really anymore. Okay. He's been back there on kick return, but also like with the new fair catch, they're going like what the NFL is doing with the new fair catch. Like I don't even when you if you pooch a ball and get it to land like on the 2 yard line, like fair catches are just going to happen for sure. Kick returns. So sure, you can put Jaden Ball out there because he can catch it, but like he's not going to return one. It'll be interesting to me because I think I've seen Justin Williams back there as a freshman. That'd be a good spot for him. Really shifty, twitchy kind of runner. But yeah, I think VB3 is your starting punt returner. VB3 will also be back for kicks. Along with, I'm trying to think. I pulled it up. Where did I pull that? Leonard Montgomery's been back there. Evan Pryor's been back there for kick returns. Along with Justin Williams. So I think a way to kind of get the running backs in and get them involved is back there. And then also Jalen Lloyd. He's been a little dinged up, but track speed, like top end, legit track speed. He's back on punt return and kick return as well.
Okay. Yeah, I know Jalen Lloyd. Everybody kind of knows the name from his time at Nebraska, then Oklahoma State, just as a speedster. Will he be able to get on the field as a wide receiver? We don't think that there's a ton of opportunity there, but there is an opportunity elsewhere. And doing well on special teams sometimes earns you a better opportunity at your natural position as well. Well, we lost Jordan. Not sure if his laptop died, but that does bring us to the end of the show.
I have one more. I started this from earlier. Lito Dorito Mertz was decent, nothing crazy, but he was serviceable. I've kind of comped Philo to Mertz. I think Mertz a little bit more advanced when we got him because Mertz was coming from like as a 3-year starter at Wisconsin versus a guy going into his third year with only one start. But that's kind of my comp. And I think if Philo holds on to the job for the full year, I think he will kind of like earn the same respect that Mertz earned, where you like you realize like I got into a bunch of trouble saying like, hey, Graham Mertz is fine. And fans hated that. And they thought that like, he stunk. And then when he had a really good game, they were like, oh, how's that for fine? I'm like, I think you're not understanding what I meant. Like, he's going to be good. You're going to enjoy him. He's not going to win the Heisman. He's probably not going to be a first team All-SEC quarterback, but like, he'll win you some games. He's not going to lose you games. Like, he's fine. I think
you should have some better weapons. You should have some better, more mature, different weapons than what Mertz has.
I 100% agree with that.
And when you have those weapons, Nick, sorry, while you're formulating your thought, while you have those weapons, that allows the quarterback to be able to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because Florida didn't have a Jaden Ball at running back with Graham Mertz.
Yeah. Now I think I keep mentioning the interior offensive line because Buster Faulkner wants to run the ball between the tackles. So I think even though I have questions about left tackle and right tackle, you want to run the ball. Buster does between the tackles. And I think you've got a solid interior offensive line to be able to do that. And obviously this a stable of guys to carry the ball. So I think Aaron Philo, I think you're fine with either quarterback. Neither of them, they both are so similar in their games. But yeah, I saw that Graham Mertz and I was like, hey, I've been making that comp like at practice.
And a better offense coordinator specifically. Yes, the most important thing. The most important thing, 100%. Smash the like button. Definitely run the ball. Jordan's internet went out with a storm. So we'll wrap the show here. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Before we leave, one time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville right on Archer Road. When you're in town, go visit them. They have the largest selection of Florida Gators apparel in the entire city of Gainesville. So again, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall in Gainesville right off of Archer Road, right on your way to the stadium. Well, we will be back on Friday with our episode of Game Day Eve as we prepare for the FAU Owls Nick, we made another offseason. Want to give a shout out to the boys in the pod, but some unbelievable interviews this offseason that we had, some great content that we feel like you guys should definitely go check out, between interviews of current players, of former players. We had a bunch of unique perspectives on walk-ons. We had Scott Strickland. We had John Summerall. We had Todd Golden. Just a kind of an embarrassment of content.
A lot of assistant coach, the new assistant coaches, yeah. Ben Elsner, Drew Hughes. Yeah, yeah. So kind of hitting it from all different areas.
Awesome. Nick, 100%. You nailed it on the head. We had Jonathan Safir, the assistant basketball coach. We had probably 80% of the current staff. And Carlin Hartman. We had Ben Elsner was an exceptional peek behind how the data and the analytics work. And we had Drew Hughes, who was on the staff with Jim McElwain, recruited folks like Jordan Scarlett to UF, to Kevin Carter last week. And we're going to get Tammy Weiss, a new women's basketball coach, on here soon. It was supposed to happen last week, but with the scheduling change. But ultimately, we appreciate you guys for listening to our content and being able to focus on the content of what Stadium and Gale is as a content delivery arm for you guys. And there can be times that we agree or disagree with personalities. There can be times that we disagree with takes on the show, but we do this show for you guys and to try to give you guys a peek and a peel behind the onion that is Gators Athletics and try to have a little bit of fun while we're doing it. So for everybody that watched today, we're excited. Football season's back. Basketball season's not too far ahead. And shout out to the women's soccer team. They're on their first three-game winning streak in like 6 years. So big win over FSU last week, win over Jacksonville this week. But, man, we love this show. We appreciate everybody for watching, and we will see you Friday for game day.
GMFG, it's game week.
It's game week. We appreciate it. See y'all, boys. Have a great week.